Welcome. You're listening to episode 60 of Good Copy, Bad Copy, the B2B copywriting podcast. My name is George Reith, and I'm a copywriter at Radix Communications and your guest host for the podcast today. I'm joined by Radix founder and lead copywriter, Fiona Campbell-Howes.
Hello.
This month, we're going to be talking about messaging workshops. What are they? Why would you want one? And what should you expect when one takes place? Later on in this episode, Radix writer and wunderkind Ben Philpott will make his podcast debut, where he'll be nominating our first ever inductee into the Radix B2B Content Hall of Fame. As always, we're very eager to hear your thoughts and feelings about the podcast. So if you have any questions or comments about this episode, please feel free to email us at podcast@radix-communications.com. Or you can tweet us at radixcom. That's RADIXCOM. Okay, jumping straight into the questions then for this episode. I would like to preface this by saying that I've never actually done a messaging workshop myself, so I'm coming at this from the layman's perspective. So if I ask any silly questions, just ignore them and we can cut them out later. But hopefully that won't happen. So Fiona, starting with the very basics, what is the messaging we're talking about that takes place in these workshops and is defined, and why is this messaging so important?
Right, yeah, and I should say, George, you're doing an excellent job of hosting. Thank you very much for stepping in. It's a kind of meta irony that David can't host the podcast because he's doing a messaging workshop right at the moment with a client. So we're here talking about messaging workshops. What is messaging and why is it important? I think if you're a brand over a certain size, and that size is not very big, if you have more than one person communicating with customers, with external audiences, with the press, you kind of want your proposition to sound and feel consistent. And so you kind of want to have a hymn book to all be singing from, and that is essentially the messaging document or the messaging framework. It's like an articulation of the key things that you want to say to your external audiences that you can share with everybody so that everyone sounds like they're kind of on the same page, singing from the same hymn sheet.
Okay, and you said that this is more appropriate for organisations of a certain size. Do you have an idea of sort of exactly what kind of size of organisation would most benefit from this?
I would say it's any organisation where you've got more than one person communicating externally. So, I mean, that's really any organisation, possibly over one person. But the bigger the organisation, the more the messaging comes into its own because, you know, you've got different divisions, you know, you've got marketing people, you've got sales people, you've got PR people who are all communicating with external audiences, and what they say needs to kind of come across consistently. So the bigger the organisation, the more need there is for messaging, I think.
Okay. And is there sort of a specific time when an organisation might need to have a messaging workshop, or is it just sort of, you know, whenever? When is this kind of workshop most useful, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that depends. So very often if it's a launch of a new product and, you know, they want to work out, you know, how are we going to communicate this product externally? What are we going to say about it? Or if it's a rebrand, or, you know, we work with some clients that acquire a lot of other companies and, you know, want to bring the acquired companies within the main brand and, you know, look to get a kind of consistent set of messages that makes the acquired company feel like part of the overall brand as well. So there's lots of different reasons you might do a messaging workshop.
Okay. And is this kind of messaging, is that the same as a core value proposition you might have for a product or service? Or are these different sort of things?
Yeah, so that's a really good question because, you know, we're copywriters, I guess. You know, we get asked to do messaging workshops quite a lot. But the workshops that we do are always kind of quite practical, and it's often that a marketing person, either an internal marketing person or an external marketing consultant or agency, has already, you know, done the work of the core value proposition. So working out, you know, who are we as a brand? Who are we selling to? What are we selling? What unique value do we bring to our audience or our audiences? And then quite often we as copywriters come along and go, okay, you've sorted all that out, you know who you are and what you're selling and who you're selling to. Now, how are you actually going to communicate that and articulate it? And that's how I feel that messaging works, you know, from our perspective as copywriters. So there has been some sort of marketing strategy work already done, and then we come in and work out how it's going to be on the ground communicated externally.
So I think we've touched on the what and the why, but I think we should talk about the how. So what actually happens in a messaging workshop? What happens on the ground in one of these things?
Yeah, so I think, you know, different agencies or consultancies might do it differently, but the way we like to do it, and, you know, sometimes feel like a bit of a fraud saying, you know, it's a messaging workshop, and, you know, that might conjure up, you know, images of, we're going to use lots of post-it notes, and, you know, we're going to draw boats and anchors and sails, and then I tend to get into a room, and it's a little bit more prosaic than that. But, you know, the way we do it is we like to get different stakeholders together into a room. So anybody that's got a kind of view or kind of authority or kind of opinion on how the brand should be communicating, we like to get those people into the room together, and basically kind of just go through a set of questions with them that tease out from them, you know, what are the core things we need to be saying, you know, who are we saying them to, are there different audiences, and what do we need to be saying to each of these different audiences, and, you know, we tend to lead that, you know, we've got an agenda, we'll kind of challenge people and put questions to them, and then we'll record all of that information, all of that discussion, and then take that away and write up a messaging framework, which is the document that everyone can then use in their communications.
So those people that you mentioned getting into the room for this workshop, are there any specific roles that need to attend to really get the best value out of that workshop?
It's good if there are different roles there, because I think different people in different roles have different perspectives, but they're all kind of equally valid perspectives. So we very often find that there are salespeople there, because they're the people that are talking to customers every day. You know, they know what it is that customers are looking for. They know the kinds of problems that customers are facing or the kind of aspirations that they have. We find that there are product people there normally. I mean, particularly if it's messaging around a particular product or service, there'll be the product owner or manager to talk to us about, you know, what's important about the product, what do we need to communicate about it. There'll generally be a marketing person there, because, you know, marketing is the main consumer of these messages or user of these messages, but they also have a perspective on, you know, where do we sit as a brand in the marketplace, who are our competitors, you know, how could we be different from them. You know, at the core of it, you know, salesperson, a product person, a marketing person, that gives you three different perspectives, which we then kind of mesh together to create the overarching messaging document.
Okay. So, obviously, getting all these people into a room is together is clearly very valuable, but I imagine quite challenging when people have, you know, different schedules to meet and everything. So I'm just wondering, I suppose, what is there sort of any specific value in the workshopping method that you don't get from other ways of defining messaging, like whether you're just talking to individual stakeholders or what have you? Like, what's so special about the workshop as a method?
That's a good question, because, you know, have done it other ways as well. So, you know, I've done messaging exercises where I've interviewed individual stakeholders separately, and then kind of brought together everything that they said, or at least kind of brought together the consistencies in what they said, and you know, established that that's the messaging. No, but the value of getting people into a room together is that they can thrash these things out. So if one person has one opinion and another person has a different opinion, you can discuss that in the room and come to a consensus as to what the messaging should be. And you also, I think, you know, if you've all been in a room together working on this messaging, I think you're more invested in it as well. So I think you're likely to give it more thought. And when perhaps the first draft of the messaging framework comes back, you're kind of more invested in, like, really looking at that and thinking, is this the right way for us to communicate? And in some of the messaging workshops that I've done, the people attending have just found it really valuable to be in the room with other people from other divisions and other departments to kind of learn about how each other operates. You know, there's this whole classic thing about sales and marketing are completely siloed and don't talk to each other a lot. And in organisations where that's the case, it can be just really valuable for them to be in a room together and talking to each other.
Okay. And I think we touched on this idea a little bit earlier when we spoke about the difference between the messaging and the customer value proposition. But I am wondering if, you know, sort of, I guess, where in the chain of thought this kind of thing would come. I mean, is this the kind of thing where you need to have done maybe like personas and voice and tone workshops before you do a messaging workshop? Or can they be done sort of independently at different times, do you think?
Yeah, so, well, when I do a messaging workshop, I really like to look at it from the point of view of a kind of outside-in point of view. So we look at who is the customer, or who is the buyer, or who is the external person that we're communicating to. Because otherwise, you just get very kind of inward-looking, and you know, your messages are things you would like to say to the world, but you haven't really thought about whether the world's interested in that, what you've got to say. So part of it is kind of persona definition. It's like we first look at, okay, who are our external audiences and what are those people like, and, you know, what are their motivations, what are they looking for? A bit of persona work comes out of that. I mean, I don't ever go very deeply into personas. I mean, you can go very deeply into personas and you can have a whole kind of set of really detailed personas created, but there's not usually scope in a messaging workshop to go into that level of detail. Mm. Voice and tone, that can be part of it, although often we find that voice and tone has already been established as part of the kind of initial marketing strategy work. And so when we come up with the messages, we are fitting them in to an existing voice and tone. If that work hasn't been done, then yes, we can kind of put the messages together in the voice and tone that we think will work best for the brand here.
Okay. So once the actual workshop has been completed, what do the actual outputs look like that you deliver? I mean, obviously, it's very valuable for these people to get to meet in the same room and then hopefully have a nice buffet lunch put on. That would seem to happen
absolutely,
in workshops,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
aside from those obviously being really good things, is there sort of anything else that you would deliver to a client after a workshop?
So the messaging framework or messaging document or messaging hierarchy, you know, different people call it different things, but this is the document, you know, this is the document that we create that then everyone can take and use, and often it's got actually copyable and pasteable copy blocks in it, so that, you know, when they're coming to communicate, like put together a sales presentation or write a press release, then there's kind of ready-made wording that they can take and use from that document. And it, you know, it varies as to what goes into that document, but generally there will be kind of key messages, there'll be supporting messages, there'll be proof points, which is very important because, you know, you have to show rather than just tell, you know, what you want to say. So, you know, we in the workshop, we would always challenge people to back up what they're saying. So how can you prove that? And it's generally with customer testimonials, or it's with, you know, patents or accreditations, or, you know, whatever they can put forward to prove what they're saying. So we'll put proof points into the messaging framework as well. Very often, strap lines. So if it's, for example, if it's a new product or a new service, options for little pithy strap lines to communicate the kind of value of the service. Maybe a kind of slightly longer value proposition statement. You know, what unique value does this product or service or brand bring to you? Sort of elevator pitches, so sort of very succinct ways of articulating what the brand or the product is all about. So we would generally do kind of a 25-word one, a 50-word one, and a 100-word one that you can use in various places. So it's quite a practical document, especially if you're using it to actually kind of lift wording and use it in various places. It can be a very kind of hard-working, useful document.
Mm. And it's interesting that you mentioned about sort of lifting those copy blocks and placing them in different locations and for different pieces of content. Because obviously I know that's kind of the point of producing the sort of short, medium and longer copy block lengths. But I mean, how multi-purpose can those copy blocks be, do you think?
I think it depends. I think, you know, often when it's messaging on a very specific thing, like a specific product, it can be really useful just to have copy blocks like that if you're sending out a marketing email to promote the product, or if you're writing web copy or, you know, a web page for that product. It can be really useful to have that wording just there ready. But in a lot of situations, you're going to want to kind of tweak it a bit, and like, you know, to the purpose that you're using it. You know, if you're a salesperson and you're kind of writing an email to a contact that you have, you're probably not going to like lift and use the wording word for word. But you do have that messaging document there, so you know the things that you should be saying about that product, and you can kind of word it in your own way.
Cool. Okay. I think we've covered most of the sort of big questions I had about this, but are there sort of any other weird and wonderful messaging workshop stories you'd like to share with us?
I'd love to say that I had weird and wonderful messaging workshop stories, but everyone that I've done has just been quite a pleasant experience and gone quite well. And, you know, people do seem to value. I mean, the whole thing about getting people together in a room and just talking to them about, you know, what the business is or what the product is and what value it has and, you know, who they're talking to and getting them talking to each other. And one thing that I've found, one thing that we do quite often is before we do the workshop, we'll talk to two or three of the client's customers, so we'll get that kind of external perspective, and that can be a really interesting exercise, because often what the customers have got to say can be completely at odds with what the brand or the client wanted to say about themselves, and that always leads to a really interesting discussion, but a really kind of good and productive and fruitful discussion. So, I find them valuable experiences for us as writers, because we get to know the client very well, and you know, if we've done their messaging, we're in a very good position to write for them. But the client usually find it a very valuable experience for themselves, for kind of all the reasons that I've talked about.
Excellent. Well, that's been very interesting for me, and I hope it's been very interesting for you listening as well. Thank you very much, Fiona, for answering those questions.
Pleasure.
And before we go, we have time for a very exciting new feature where we'll be inducting a piece of content into the Radix B2B Content Hall of Fame.
So I believe I'm right in saying it's a podcast debut for Ben Philpott, our copywriter today. Ben is here to nominate our first ever inductee for the Radix B2B Content Hall of Fame, which is basically content that we've seen in the wild, that we've got a bit of a crush on, basically, and stuff that we wish we'd written and we'd just like to give it some love. So Ben, welcome, and tell us about the content that you are nominating as our first ever inductee.
Hello. The content that I am nominating is called A Video Conferencing Call in Real Life, and it was commissioned by the video conferencing company Zoom, and created by a comedy duo on YouTube called Trip and Tyler. Now, I'm not normally attracted to traditional stuffy marketing, so this one caught my eye, as at first it wouldn't really appear like a piece of marketing content. It's more of a straightforward comedy video that people who work in offices can relate to and laugh about. But when it comes to the end, it actually quite subtly sort of hits you with a marketing pitch for Zoom's video conferencing software. And I thought that was rather clever, because when it came, I wasn't like, ugh, that, you know, that was crowbarred in and totally uncalled for. But it was like, okay, yeah, I can see how that would help. And you've just, you know, shown me why I might need your software, but with something relatable. So yeah, it was pretty good.
And it's an award-winning piece of content already, I guess, although clearly not as nothing as prestigious as being inducted to the Radix B2B Content Hall of Fame.
No, but yeah, it's an award-winning piece. I believe that it won a gold award for it's Gold Stevie winner, it's got millions of views. I think it's been re-uploaded, I believe, after being taken down from its original place, but it's got, you know, tens of millions of views. So it's obviously well-liked.
I think it's one of those things where it's unusual for B2B content in that it tries to be funny and it genuinely is funny. I mean, you look at it and you go, we do conference calls all the time. And there's just so much in that you recognise. This is the pain of real life in it. It's so honest.
Yeah, I think that's it. You can just see yourself in that situation, and that's why, again, I feel like the marketing pitch at the end just works.
Cool. Well, I think that is a very worthy first ever nominee for the B2B Content Hall of Fame. So we will sound the fanfare and induct them. And congratulations, Ben, on your podcast debut.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. And congratulations to Zoom, our inaugural inductee. If listening to that has made you think of a piece of awesome B2B content that we should be considering for our Hall of Fame, then please let us know about it. We'd love to hear from you. That's all we've got time for on this episode of Good Copy, Bad Copy. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, please email us at podcast@radix-communications.com. You can also find us on Twitter at radixcom, and you'll find our website at radix-communications.com, where you can also sign up for our delightful email newsletter. Next time, we'll be giving you the most important shopping list of your life. We'll be covering the things you can buy that might just improve your copywriting. So, if there's anything you'd like to add to the list, drop us an email. But until then, thank you for joining us.